Okay, well, thank you, Cheryl, and certainly want to have you turn tonight, or this afternoon, rather, to 1 Kings in chapter 18 and God's cure for depression. 1 Kings chapter 18, I'll begin reading in 32nd verse, concerning God's cure for depression. There are all kinds of depressions that human beings have, and what we're talking about here is something that would be outside of a medical type of depression caused by something that's we have actually a physical problem with depression, but outside of that, there are many kinds of depressions to be had. And as we see here in the Bible, even great men of God suffer from time to time from depression. And so we're going to take a look at that right now. Verse 32 of chapter 18, the Bible says, "And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, 'Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood.' And he said, 'Do it the second time.' And they did it the second time. And he said, 'Do it the third time.' And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.'" There are some times in the Bible that I really wish that I were there to see some of these things that were, that I could be an eyewitness to. This was a tremendously dramatic scene in the Bible. And Israel, God's man, Elijah, God's man, confronted the wicked queen Jezebel and her henpecked husband Ahab. And he put them to shame publicly. Then he slew the prophets of Baal after that. And so he had a big day's work here. He exhausted himself in all of this of what he was doing. And we find him after his tremendous victory and And God putting to shame the wicked crowd of Jezebel, we find God's man running from her. My, what a change. What a change here. What's going on? What's happened? And then we find him over in the next chapter, in chapter 19 and verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." I am not better than my fathers. What a change. My, oh my. What happened here? What happened here? He went from it was almost like the morning Sunday school lesson where we see Jacob going from one end to another. He was very spiritual when he was spiritual, and he was very worldly when he was worldly. And Elijah went from one extreme here to another. He was waxing great in victory on Mount Carmel, and all of a sudden, a day later, we see him fleeing into the desert and sitting down under a juniper tree and asking God to kill him and take him on out of this world. Well, what's going on here? And so, first we want to look at the cause, and then we'll see the cure. The cause of depression. Some of the causes of depression, and of course there are many. But after that, we'll see God's cure for it. Human character is far more complex than most of us might think. Its elements are so diverse. And we often contradict ourselves. Take Peter, for example. Peter was the first to acknowledge the divinity of our Lord, yet later we see him deny the Lord with cursing. My. He goes from one extreme to another. He goes way over here, then he goes way over here. We are very complex. Human beings are very complex. And the cause of why we do things is also very complex. But was the contradiction more complete than in Elijah. One day, he had led 7,000 to repentance, and the next day, he throws away all hope of God's cause. And so we were reminded that it's very difficult to judge ourselves as well as others. It's very difficult to get to the bottom of why we do things as well as other people. And we're not infidels because we pass through a phase of doubt, and we're not Christians just because we enjoy a religious service. And so despondency comes to all of us who engage in service for the Lord. And so let's try to discover some of its causes based upon what the Bible is telling us. Number one, a cause of depression would be reaction after excitement. Most pastors resign after a building program. That's what statistics say. When you take all the pastors in America, when you take all the pastors who have recently resigned their church, the majority of them resign after a building program. There is a psychological, I don't know what you would call it. It would be Maybe a breaker switch might be the best term to use. I don't know. But once a goal is reached, I remember when I built, I wasn't always an evangelist. I was a pastor before I was an evangelist. And I started a church in Cape Coral. It's now the church that Tom Sexton is pastoring. But I started there in 1974. And I remember building a small building on the property. We met for a while. We raised some money. We bought some property, and we built a small building. And I remember the day that we moved into that building, we had 17 people. We had all this debt ahead of us. And I went over to the home churches. I was a missionary, actually, out of another church. And I went over to the pastor's house, and I said, "I'm quitting." I said, "I'm resigning." I said, "I've had it." I said a lot of other things, too. I don't remember what I said. It's been a long time ago. But you get the point. You know, you get the drift. I mean, I was just absolutely up to my neck, and I was discouraged, and I was despondent, and that is a common later on. Of course, they don't tell you these things in Bible colleges. All a Bible college is just kind of like a prep school. I mean, the real college starts when you start actually in the work. That stuff they give you in all these Bible colleges, that's a bare minimum, if that. And so later on I found out that, hey, that's a normal reaction. That's a normal reaction. We are so made that we have a goal. Now, our one goal is to get in that building. Get in that building. And then when you reach the goal, then there's a letdown, you see. There's a reaction after an excitement. Hey, all the excitement that went on Mount Carmel, man, I'm telling you what, this was something else. Here Elijah called fire down from heaven and consumed that altar and burned it into cinder. And even the little trencher going around it was burning. And then all the prophets of Baal had to be slain. Hey, this was action, man. This was excitement. And so there's a reaction after excitement. But notice something else that'll bring depression. And we just saw it here in this verse right here, verse 4. Look at this. He says, "For I am not better than my fathers." In verse 4, chapter 19. "I'm not better than my fathers." Comparing ourselves to others will bring depression. Comparing ourselves to others will bring depression. Boy, I wish I could win souls like so-and-so. I wish I could preach like so-and-so. If I could only sing like she does or he does. You see? There's always, let me tell you something that my parents always taught me when I was a kid, and that is there's always somebody that can do something better than you can, no matter what you do. There's always somebody that can do something better than you can. So that ought not to bring discouragement to us. We ought to just accept that as a fact. And so we ought not to compare ourselves to others. First of all, it's because God has given to every person a different ministry. God has given to you a different ministry than He's given to me. God's given to your pastor a different ministry than He's given to me. God gives to everybody a different ministry. Everybody has something different to do as far as the work of God is concerned. And so we ought not to compare ourselves to others who we might think that they are more talented or they're better or they are more gifted or whatever we might think about them. That will always bring depression. Someone wrote a book some time ago in which they said, outside of clinical depression, all depression is caused by us feeling sorry for ourselves. Now you think about that. There's a lot of truth in that. It is caused by us feeling sorry for ourselves. Why am I being treated this way? Oh, well, why can't I be treated better? Now, why should I have to suffer like this? And of course, that brings on depression. Something else will cause depression is exhaustion of physical energy. Even the great strength of a man like Elijah underwent a terrible strain on Carmel. Anxiety and enthusiasm and zeal, preceded by many days and nights of prayer, drained him physically. And physical exhaustion will lead to discouragement. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. And so what happens to us physically affects us mentally and emotionally, and vice versa. So there's an interplay on our emotions, there's an interplay on our mental condition as far as our physical condition. Here's a person here that was exhausted physically. Notice something else here. He says, I am left alone. There's an absence of sympathy. He says, I'm left alone. I think now about missionaries who are alone. You just think about missionaries who go to the ends of the world, and I'm telling you what, in some of the areas of the world they go to, they're the only Christians. They're the only Christian people. They're surrounded by unbelievers. And it's easy. And then they're changing their culture. They're learning a new language at the same time. It's easy. And I feel for these people. I've been on the mission field with them, and I have a little idea of what they're going through. There's an absence of sympathy. And so he says, I am left alone. And so there's great wisdom. There's great wisdom in God's provision of church fellowship. It's good for us to come together from time to time, to be around on a regular basis, to be around people that believe like we believe. Amen. I like to be around people like I believe like I do. Don't you? That encourages us. That ought to encourage us and lift us up spiritually and emotionally and every other way. Be around others that believe like we believe and share the same thoughts and share the same desires and the same goals in life. That's important for us. And something else that'll cause depression is doubt of success. The confidence of the prophet Elijah had broken down. He thought the whole nation would turn to God because of Carmel, and instead Jezebel was more determined than ever. He had just stirred her up. And doubt began to come in of God's willingness to forgive, and doubt of God's willingness to hear and answer prayer. And that plunges us into depression. And then notice something else that'll cause depression is inactivity. Inactivity, the opposite of exhaustion. Inactivity, that'll sometimes cause depression. It's sometimes easier to be in the thick of the battle than to wait for the battle to begin, especially if you're a man of action like Elijah was. It's sometimes easier to be in the thick of things. It's like being in a sporting event. It's like being in a sporting event. And there is the big game ahead, or the big contest ahead, or the big race ahead, or the big track meet, whatever. And a person who's involved in that will oftentimes be looking at that for several days. It's coming at 8 o'clock on Friday night. It's coming. The game's coming. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the athletic event, the race is coming. It's going to be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they start getting all nervous. And they start wringing their hands and say, man, this thing's coming. And then after the kickoff, or after the signal to start the race. After that, well, all the butterflies just vanish. And the person is calm. And so it's easier sometimes to be in the thick of things than to anticipate it. Inactivity will cause depression. What about people who are laid up in the hospital for days at a time and they cannot be active? That will often cause a mild form of depression because that's all they can do. They're people of action. They want to get out. They want to do things, and they cannot do it. And so these things remove them temporarily from service, and that can cause them to be despondent. Well, let's look at God's cure. God's cure. Well, first thing that God did for Elijah here was he did not want to talk to him. He did not want to deal with Elijah under these conditions. What God did here, first of all, was he made sure that Elijah had rest. He had rest. Take a few days off. People come to pastors for spiritual advice sometimes, and you know what? They're discouraged and despondent for one reason or another. And you know what? One of the best things they can do is to, first of all, just get a few days of sleep. It'll do amazing things for you. Hey, in the kind of life we're living today, I'm seeing people who are working 2 and 3 jobs, and they're burning the candles at both ends. They're staying up all night. They can't hardly stay awake in the services because they're working too many hours. That will lead to depression. That leads to depression. Take a few days off. First of all, get some sleep. Get some rest. It'll work wonders. The next thing God wanted, his formula for Elijah was food. Have some food. Amen? Have some food. When you're hungry, things look a lot different than they do when you've just ate. And so his formula was rest and food and then exercise. And not until then did God deal with the reasoning power of Elijah. So God challenges Elijah with work. What doest thou here, Elijah? God says. God says, what doest thou? What are you doing? Sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, wanting to die, wanting to be taken out of this world. We are not doing anything. First, rest. Next, food. Then, exercise. Threefold cure for God's cure for depression. There's work to be done. There's hundreds and thousands of people need to be won to Jesus Christ. Millions going to hell, and so arise and get to work. And health of spirit will return. We're made for working. We're not made to sit. We're not made for inactivity. God made man for work. And when we're not involved in work, then we start becoming depressed and we start becoming full of despondency, and all sorts of bad things happen. And in order to be fit for work, we have to have rest, we have to have food, and God assures the victory. And Elijah had not been a failure after all. 7,000 at least had been encouraged by his example. And let me tell you something, friend, I would have quit the ministry a long time ago if I had thought that I was in this by myself. I'd have quit a long time ago. Pity the poor person who tries to do God's work without the Holy Spirit to guide him and direct him and to be involved in the work as well. And so work is good. It's good for us. And be assured that the victory will come through the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Well, I want to draw for you right now. I want to draw Elijah up on Mount Carmel. One of the great scenes in the Bible. Elijah up on Mount Carmel. Let's have all the lights out, please.